This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the Drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
So how do we define woke is a question. What is going to happen with the district attorney who's worried about now apparently the weakness of the case against the former president? And does he want a perp walk for the cameras? Well, I would hope so. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. But how do we define woke? For the answer to that question, let me turn to my buddy, Dr. Wilfred Riley, professor of political science at Kentucky State University. What's up there, Dr. Riley? How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, just living life. Still wondering if the Trump indictment is going to drop. I mean, you just mentioned that. But other than that, not doing too much. Prepping a Cut the Bull podcast episode.
What's your 30,000-foot view of the Trump indictment?
I mean, I think the Trump indictment is a partisan joke. I mean, you see this from both parties from time to time. I mean, this is like the Roger Stone kind of stuff. I mean, what Trump is being indicted for is a technical financial violation that ties into his allegedly paying Assat is the word that comes to mind colloquially, but a sex worker, Stormy Daniels, for sex, 8 years ago? This is 2015, 2016. Trump offered her $130,000 above board, above the table, if she wouldn't mention their relationship. Daniel signed the contract. I think there was some technical flaw in the contract, though she obviously has mentioned it a couple times. But Trump apparently reported this as a legal expense rather than a campaign expense or some such thing. Alvin Bragg, who is a pretty hard to the left Manhattan DA, he's mentioned before he'd like to get Trump. He'd like to get some of these quote unquote crooked businessmen in Manhattan. He's convened a 6 month long grand jury to look into this, you know, capital letters, very serious case. And he has come out with one misdemeanor B violation that he is charging the big guy with. So the question is, are they going to go down to Florida and try to bring him back? Or for a misdemeanor, will he simply zoom into court and say not guilty, and then you'll have a case that lasts 2 years? We'll see. But I mean, I will say that this is the kind of charge you almost never see. You know, I've worked in the sales and trading floor world, and the idea that you might mislabel an expense, quote unquote, accidentally, you know, when you're adding up the expense accounts for the year, or you're looking at the sales versus the marketing budget. We're not talking about Enron. We're talking about something at this level. So this is kind of like the second Trump impeachment or the first Bill Clinton impeachment, where the legendary Chris Rock line is they're charging him with stuff I didn't know was crimes.
Right.
It's completely political. There's no way you couldn't do this to anyone who has a non-disclosure agreement, but that is the basis of the charges.
And this guy, this district attorney, too, I think I heard somewhere 52% of the time he dropped felonies down to misdemeanors, and in this case, this is a misdemeanor, he would be jacking up to a felony, right?
Well, I don't see how you could take this kind of technical violation up to a felony. I mean, it's going to be an A misdemeanor charge. It's a non-bail charge in New York. And this is actually speaking in my kind of legal role. I mean, not that I'm a practicing Kentucky lawyer, but I don't really see this, the impact of this in terms of what Trump could get. I mean, it would be a 3-month suspended sentence or something. It's not very serious. The impact, of course, is political. It's partisan. So you get to have this circus where on New York TV, which transmits directly to the national networks, the former president is being charged with paying off a porn star or a prostitute or however you want to look at that. You know, he might be in the orange Rikers jumpsuit for an hour. And if he is, you know, that picture is going to leak. So, I mean, that's the point of it. I don't even think you'll get a felony claim out of this. But I think the first part of what you said is actually more important. Like, Alvin Bragg is literally one of these, without getting conspiratorial, one of these Soros-funded DAs. He's a guy who, I think you said, in 52% of cases, when a felony case was originally brought, he allowed his prosecutors to reduce that to a misdemeanor. So, I mean, in New York, last I looked at this for a paper with Bob Maranto, but the New York murder rate had spiked 58% between 2020 and today. You have 100 more murders in New York per year than you used to, and that's devastating Black, Puerto Rican, you know, ethnic white communities. And this is kind of what the lead lawman in the city is focused on. So, yeah, that is obviously a result of, you know, the broader political climate. Like, no one could look at this and say, well, this is the most serious crime going on in New York right now.
Since you mentioned Chris Rock, Dr. Wilfred Riley, we have a little bit of the audio of the stand-up that he said with Nancy Pelosi in the audience, actually. Let's take a listen.
Talk about Adam, the CNN people. You guys really going to arrest Trump? Do you know this is only going to make him more popular? It's like arresting Tupac. He's just going to sell more records.
I mean, it's funny because it's true, and I agree with that. And then, of course, he goes on to say that, you know, we've all been cheated on. How many people wish that, you know, somebody had been paid off to not tell you? You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that this will make Trump more popular. So, okay, on the one hand, like, I'm in a relationship. I'm past the age of 30. I don't cheat. Like, some of the stuff Trump has done is pretty scummy if we're just talking as men or as citizens. But the idea that Trump is being harassed by what Hillary Clinton once called that vast conspiracy on the other side, and to be fair, Hillary Clinton got some of this too, but when you're in D.C., when you're unpopular, the idea that there are people like a level below the elite at the FBI that are illegally watching you, there are people that are wiretapping your business, that DAs are going to try to charge you with random crap. If you remember Whitewater, Whitewater doesn't just tie into one party. But that's not a conspiracy theory. That's true. So, I mean, Trump, during the time that he's been in the presidential office or close to it, I mean, he's been impeached twice for just nonsensical reasons. I mean, potential involvement with J6. What we now know was an entirely trumped up conspiracy theory about him working with the Russians, of all things. You know, he's now being charged with a crime. You've had other AGs like Letitia James say that they were going to illegally charge him with crimes, by which I mean, like, they came into office and said, we're going to get him. They didn't have, like, a starting offense they were going to try to get him for. So I think a lot of people looking at this in, like, working poor, mostly white communities, like in East Palestine, looking at these people spending tens of millions of dollars to chase this other rich guy around, like, you had a mistress, did you? I mean, there's an element of disgust and irritation with that. There's an element of why can't these parties work together to fix the holes in my road, stop crime, stop opiates, close the border. So I do think Trump will become more popular if this radical activism just goes on and he's charged for this plus something else, and that goes into the next election cycle. Doesn't excuse what he did, but again, there aren't many 7-year-old out-of-state misdemeanor charges that are brought personally by the DA. I'll just put it like that.
Yeah, well, that's very, very true on that point. Dr. Wilfred Riley, you had a piece recently in National Review about how do we define woke after my friend Bethany Mandel was asked the question, and after homeschooling six kids and just being a new mom, she was pretty tired. She kind of had a brain fart, as she put it, didn't really have an answer. So you wrote a piece really how to define woke, and I thought it was very helpful because I get asked the question all the time, particularly from my mother, who always asks me, you know, woke, what does that mean? I always answer it by saying political correctness on steroids, but you go a little bit more in depth on that, and I think it does matter too, because like Chris Rock, his new special, I mean, his whole thing about racist yoga pants and non-racist yoga pants, I thought was hysterical. There really is this sense of whether it's woke, cancel culture, I mean, it's something very real and pervasive in our society.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I think like the definition you use with your mom is pretty good. I mean, that's a good shorthand for anyone in the audience. What is woke? Woke is political correctness 2.0. That's what I might use in a speech. Thanks.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Yeah. Happy to help.
I'll take quotes from smart people in random places. But, yeah. Political correctness 2.0, social justice warrioring. I mean, James Lindsay, a buddy of mine, has a one-sentence definition. He says that a woke person is a person with critical consciousness, which then flips the debate back to the liberal or the leftist. They have to ask, what do you mean by critical consciousness? And he'll say, well, don't you read your own side's books? And he'll kind of patronizingly define it like it's the belief that society is set up to oppress, be the oppressive population, blacks or women, or gays or whatever. But what I tried to do, because I'm a quantitative methods guy, I'm an empiricist, in what became like a 4-page essay for National Review with some numbers in it, I say that if you look through all of the books that are kind of on point, like Ibram Kendi, Robin DiAngelo, Richard Delgado, there are three core themes that go into the woke idea. So one is that society is intentionally set up to oppress, like today. This is where James and I agree. So, and the definition itself is short, but to give an example of that, like a woke person would argue that what looks like a functional system, like policing or the SAT exam, isn't set up to do what it looks like it's set up to do, like get the best high school kids into college. It's actually set up to marginalize blacks. There are entire, I mean, Kimberly Crenshaw has, for, to name one, has written whole essays about this. So that's point one. Like, neutral systems are set up to oppress group X. Point two, and this really is the big one, this is what made Ibram Kendi's career. Point two is the argument that you can tell this oppression exists because there are differences in performance between groups. And this gets into all this tricky wordplay that I've been arguing a bit about on Twitter today. But like Kendi himself will say, if you see a difference in like tested IQ between groups, the only two possible explanations are racism and genetic inferiority, right? So the Kafka trap there is either you agree with the woke person or you're a racist. Now, in reality, there are a bunch of other things, like Asian kids have the highest IQs and they just study more than white and black kids. So you can just pop the bubble. You can just say, well, what about number three, culture? What about number four, region? And then the argument is revealed to just be nothing. It's like ghost fluff. But that's point two. Like, you can see oppression just because there are gaps in performance. There are a lot of terms for this, like proportional representation. But that's something that's often taken for granted. And point three, kind of getting through this, is that the solution to the problems I just mentioned is what's called equity. And equity doesn't mean equality. It means proportional representation regardless of performance. So if you see that blacks are doing worse than whites on the SAT and Latinos are doing worse than blacks, you still need, if you're working in, you know, a financially savvy trading floor, to hire proportional or equal numbers of whites, blacks, and Latinos. Well, why, if the other two groups are doing badly on the test? Because that's due to racism. And while we work out racism, everything needs to be equal. Everything needs to be equalized today. So that's what being woke is. It's the idea that society is oppressive, that like any gap in performance shows that oppression. And so the solution is equity. Everyone should finish at the same place. And that's what all woke ideas kind of get down to, like the military getting rid of its distance running fitness test because women do more poorly. They decided there must have been something sexist about their training women for that race. This isn't a joke, by the way. You can look this up. The reality, of course, is that women tend to be slower than men, but wokeness doesn't recognize that.
Right. It's like how wokeness doesn't recognize that biological males are stronger than women when they compete with them on the high school or collegiate level, for example.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really weird philosophy when you think about it. Like, if you really want to go deep into what radical liberalism or radical leftism is, a lot of it is transhuman. A lot of it is postmodern. A lot of it is constructivist. And those might sound like some words I picked from like an SAT brochure laying on my desk, but it's basically the idea that society is kind of defined by the words you use or what you want it to be. This is a big thing in like a lot of really soft fields like linguistics and English and so on. So if you're debating someone from kind of this side of the leftist political spectrum, like I might say something like, well, right now, and this is cultural, it's not genetic, but, you know, I live in Appalachia and black guys and southern white guys commit more crimes. Like that's undisputed. Just everyone would agree on that. But someone who's a constructivist would say, well, aha, that depends on what you mean by crime. A crime is just something society has decided to make illegal. If we were to make racism a crime, then the ruling class would be the most criminal portion of society. So, but that wouldn't change like who gets raped. So it's just this idea that you can take almost anything that exists and you can kind of redefine it with this sort of word gaming. I don't know if I'm saying this particularly well, but like, why is a trans woman a woman? Well, first, because they say they're a woman, and we take people at their word, and we trust lived experiences and so on. But also, too, because we can redefine woman to mean something other than person with a vagina. We can redefine it, and you're starting to see this in the dictionaries now. We can redefine it to mean person who is feminine.
Right.
So by that new standard, a feminine man is a woman, but a tough woman is not. So it's just all this game-playing and nonsense. But there are real political goals concealed under the sparring with words.
True, and I think equity really brings that home for us, Dr. Wilfred Riley, professor of political science at Kentucky State University, because ultimately equity in the broader macroeconomic sense is usually socialism, communism, Marxism. I mean, there's a lot of these, this thinking that goes into the 1619 Project and the writings of all these different people that seems like the goal really is to topple capitalism and bring about something else. And equity fuels that, right? Because we're not talking about equality of outcomes. We're talking about equity. We're not like equality of opportunity. We're talking about equity here, which is entirely different. Everybody gets the same. And that ultimately is where I see all this going. And I see critical race theory going down that road. I see the 1619 Project going down the road. It's like, if they can convince my kids America is systemically racist, it was founded that way to perpetuate white supremacy and everything else, well, then how can we keep the system in place? How can we keep the founding documents in place if they were all written by a bunch of white supremacist slave owners?
Yeah, so I mean, I personally think, and it can be tough to debate some of this with a smart leftist, but again, that's just because of the wordplay. Like, what do you mean by systemic racism? Racism has been illegal formally since the Civil Rights Act 59 years ago. Well, we would define a system that produces any. So we've already done that. We're not going to do it again. But basically, all of these ideas to me, like communism, socialism, critical theory, and even going back further than that, like to Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the idea of like the noble savage and the social remake and the new social contract for the wonks in the audience, like all this stuff, it comes from the same place, which is that society is kind of a trick. Like it's set up by rich oppressors to control you. This is exactly the sort of thing like your edgy girlfriend or buddy would have said in high school. Like all of society is set up by the rich, by the oppressors to control you. They're right. Regulating your sexuality, man. They're limiting what you can put in your body, man. You know, they're making you work. But it really is like this as an idea. Like Foucault and Rousseau and so on were the people that inspired the hippie movement at some level. But anyway, and so, yeah, the solution to this crooked system that's doing these things is some kind of revolution or it's massive social change. And that often involves large-scale redistribution of resources, I guess would be a good way to put it. Another idea here that's really coherent, that runs through all this, is the idea that all groups and probably all people would finish about the same if it weren't for this unfair rigging of the system. So, like, if it weren't for racism, whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Asians would all have about the same income at the group level. And that's just factually untrue. Like, even if you think IQ differences are mostly cultural, which I do, there also are just obvious problems. Like, Asians come from powerful foreign countries, so they're three times more likely to live in cities where wages are higher. So absent any racism at all, you would see like a 40% earnings advantage for Asians. Again, that's sort of a dry mathematical point, but it's just real. And when you adjust for things like that, you find that the impact of racism on income or whatnot is usually on the order of 5 or 6%. It's not very large at all. I've seen it as low as 1% in the northern states. So you can say, well, let's fix that. Let's deal with this little bit that's left. You find the same things for sexism, gender wage gap. But let's not pretend that there's this massive systemic problem and the only way to fix it is to get rid of the system. But that's what all revolution is. It's the idea that the system's crooked, it's out to get you, you need to get rid of it.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Exactly right. Follow him on Twitter, by the way. He is you've now changed your at least your Twitter headline, Wilfred X Riley, Californian, but he's still at Will_Da_Beast630. Yep. Where did the Wilfred X Riley Californian come from?
Well, it was a joke. I mean, so what we San Francisco recently passed reparations, and like right. Just not to. I assume we'll get to the final music pretty soon here, so not to ramble on at length. But, like, the crazy thing about this is that San Francisco was never a slave state. It was one of those states that had, like, very heavily minority founders. It was, like, the 49ers, like, wild Irishmen, Caucasians from all around the country, but also the Chinese, the Mexicans, the black Buffalo soldiers settled there. So it was never especially racist. It certainly never had slaves. I mean, it was just... But for whatever reason, one of the more guilty California cities, San Francisco, decided to pass a reparations package based on whatever, like World War II era wage discrimination and this kind of thing, some of which did happen. And they put together this group of kind of pampered black academics to draw up an estimate on how much the reparations amount should be. And my understanding from some behind the scenes calls is that they expected it to be like $20,000 and they might have actually paid it. But the academic panel came up with the estimate of $5 million. So there's this, if you Google San Francisco reparations, there's this whole lunatic list of things that these wealthy brothers recommended. Like one was a guaranteed income of $97,000 a year for the next 200 years.
Nice.
One was that all black people get to buy houses for $1. And it was just like, looking at this, one of my problems with the woke left is that it makes black people look stupid, frankly, like as a black businessman. Like, when I go to meetings and people ask me, like, what do you think about this? It's like, this is like what you would think if some white guy wanted to bring back the Confederacy. The only difference is that one of these, for whatever reason, we have to pretend to take seriously. So, no, I think it's idiotic nonsense. But anyway, so all black people can buy houses for $1. You know, everyone gets a pony. But more seriously, right. There's a reparations payout of $5 million. And I looked at the requirements for this, and it was like, you have to be black, you have to be born in the USA, you have to have had residency in California since X period of time. You know, I used to be involved in the rave and nightlife scene. Like, I actually have documents showing me in California at this time. This is the long story. I'd have to probably show proof of residence. So I might not get this money. But what I said is that if they actually pay these reparations, I'm going to California to demand my $5 million because it's just the most insane thing in the world. And, like, what would happen, of course, if you actually did this, is that all the white people would move. It's like San Francisco and one suburb that are doing this, and, like, right next to them, I mean, you have Vallejo, you have those great open housing markets. Like, nobody would stay in the city and have their taxes doubled so they could give their black buddy $5 million. But it's like, it's not going to occur. But it is, it was such a bizarre scheme that I was just like, okay, you know, sign me up. Like, what do you have to do? One more serious comment on this, though. Like, if we're tying reparations now to, like, the fact the races used to fight, like, not to slavery, I don't see any reason that almost everyone couldn't ask for reparations. Like, natives were treated terribly by whites and blacks.
Sure.
What about
my people, the Italians? The biggest mass lynching in American history happened to my people, the Italians. I mean, come on.
Well, no, but exactly right. Yeah, like Italians and Irishmen weren't considered white until like 1940. Like, that, no Irish need apply was a formal state-level policy. So I think a lot of people, I don't want to use words like dumb or stupid or low IQ, because that gets used a lot by both sides in a genuinely racist way on like Twitter and Facebook. But like, I really think a lot of these people weren't mental giants that were looking at this. Like, if just California's low level of racism justifies $5 million a man, there's no reason every Irish guy in South Boston can't say, well, give me seven. You know, like, it just becomes a sort of ridiculous circus, like American Indians, the Chinese, the Japanese. We put the Japanese in concentration camps.
We did.
So
we did.
Absolutely. Terrible
and
thing.
And Italians and Germans, too, during World War II, let's not forget. So, you know.
Yeah, well, the Italians, not that many Germans, really. They just kind of blended in as regular white guys. But I mean, like, but still, like, so when a group like Italians, it would be absolutely legitimate for a group like Italians to come forward and say, we don't think we've suffered quite as much as black people, but obviously there was massive abuse of Italians who entered the job market at the very lowest levels, were stuck in the Lower East Side tenements, we were stereotyped with the entire mafia culture for decades. You know, I mean, your major publications, like, I mean, I was watching Caddyshack the other day with some friends, and it was like 10 straight Italian jokes in a row. Like, that's a decent job for an Italian. And that level of bias existed against everybody, Jews. So the point is, like, you can't write everybody a check where the black guy gets $5 million, the Italian gets three, Jewish guy gets four, native guy gets eight, because we have a limited amount of money in the country. And that's another problem for kind of the activist left. Like, when people ask, why can't we just continue the COVID lockdowns for another 2 years until we're sure COVID's gone? The answer is because people have to work so that other people can eat. So with reparations, we're really looking at this idea of, are we going to spend so much money on quote-unquote good causes that we're unable to do basic normal things? And I think that's becoming a risk.
Well, listen, I got to let you go, but I always appreciate your time. You've inspired me, Dr. Wilfred Riley. I am going to lead the reparations for Italian movement. We weren't treated as bad, so I'm only going to ask for $2.5 million and a house for $2. Not too shabby.
If you link that to me, I will share that through social media. I've got a large Chicago network. I think hundreds of thousands of people would sign up as a joke, but there's no logical reason that an Irishman couldn't say, okay, we were treated a third as bad. Give me 1.75 and I'll shut up. Like, there's no logical regulating principle once you accept. Like, do black people and Irishmen have to pay the government for the cost of, like, crime in the 60s? I mean, I don't want to make mean jokes, but, like, where do you draw the logical line once you start this kind of thing? For that matter, you could tag Italians in on that one, too. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Follow him on Twitter, @will_da_b630. I'll tweet out a link to it. Always a pleasure, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
You too.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, before we go to break, we got to do the movie thing. And action-packed show today with a lot of guests. I don't have to work very hard. It's kind of nice. So let's do it.
Now, afternoon.
Mystery movie clip. WPHD.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers. I ain't never had one myself. How are they?
They're good.
You mind if I try one of yours? This is yours here, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger. Vincent, you ever had a Big Kahuna Burger? Want a bite? They're real tasty.
Ain't hungry.
Well, if you like burgers, give them a try sometime. Me? I can't usually get them because my girlfriend's a vegetarian, which pretty much makes me a vegetarian, but I do love the taste of a good burger. Mmm. You know what they call a quarter pound of a cheese in France?
No.
Tell them, Vincent.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. You know why they call it that?
Because of the metric system.
Check out the big brain on bread.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, executive producer Matt DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, so if you're caller number 12 and you somehow know the name of that movie, you'll win a $50 gift card to Rotten Ralph Pub and Eatery in Old City, Philadelphia.
I love Rotten Ralph's. That's a great place, actually. Where our old studio used to be down there. I used to go there all the time. Great place, great food. Great burgers, by the way. A tasty burger. All right, good luck, caller number 12. Tasty burger, right? I mean, yes. Good luck, caller number 12. Now, listen, I drive a Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo, and I love hearing the stories from listeners about the great experience that you've had getting your Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo. And now there's the best time ever to go and say hello and check out their selection, because Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, and at their core value is relationships. You see, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo, and they always strive to do what is right. Right now, they are celebrating spring at Cherry Hill Volvo and offering you an additional $2,023 discount on top of all their other incentives of their in-stock 2023 Volvos. So head to Cherry Hill Volvo today for the luxurious experience you deserve and spring into a new Volvo. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. And with an extra $2,023 discount on top of all the other incentives, there's never been a better time to go by Cherry Hill Volvo and say hello. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Zioli Show. on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Good work, Henry, of course, bringing out the song from the Jack Rabbit Slims dance competition in this very same movie, the movie that resurrected John Travolta's career. And what is the name of that movie? Let me go to my movie winner today, Brian in Yardley. Brian, how are you, man?
Hey, Rich. Wow, great to be here, man. Thanks. I can't believe I got through.
You got through and you won, assuming you know the movie. What is it?
It is Pulp Fiction.
It sure is. Good job, buddy.
My man Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta hitting it.
I think that's Tarantino's best movie. What do you think?
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I can't even compare anything else to it. I'm glad you played the song, too. What a great lead-in. What a great, great lead-in.
It was either that or Son of a Preacher Man or Girl. Dun, dun, dun. You know, so either one, right?
He's talented, though. Yeah, but this one hit it out of the park. Sometimes the stars just align, you know?
All right, buddy. Well, have a great day and enjoy that gift card to a really great place in Philadelphia that I love, absolutely Rotten Ralph. So enjoy it.
Yeah, I heard that. Awesome. Hey, great show today. Fantastic guest, too. You hit it.
Thanks, brother. Thank you, brother. Have a great night, Brian. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Yeah, no, I mean, actually, the soundtrack to Pulp Fiction is outstanding. And, you know, whether you're smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Another song from the movie. Anyway, but I digress. I do digress. Henry, good job, though, playing that. So you see now, a lot of people do have common sense. It was Tarantino's best movie. Thank you.
I don't think it was.
Oh, please.
It's top three at the least.
I would have it as my third, but I still think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my favorite. And I contend that Inglourious Bastards is right up there as well.
Django.
Christoph Waltz is incredible in that movie.
He is. And the opening scene of that movie where he's drinking the milk is amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And to think he is convincing in three different languages. I can't think of another film where an actor is asked to speak three different languages. It's just an incredible performance.
Well, you're wrong, and so is Quentin Tarantino. The both of you are wrong.
They're his films.
I don't care. He's wrong and you're wrong.
No.
It's not Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Great movie.
You're wrong. Tarantino's wrong. Case closed. Case closed.
Do you at least have it in your top three?
Yeah, I do. I go Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, and then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay, that's not a bad top three.
Yeah. I go Kill Bill, and then I go probably, I guess, I don't know.
True Romance.
Django. I mean, yeah, True Romance, right?
True Romance, Death Proof. Throw them in there.
Well, True Romance, actually, Floyd, you remember the actor who played him?
Was that James Gandolfini?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm.
See that?
Yeah.
I think, his probably first role, was actually in that movie.
Yeah.
So, and he just was a stoner on the couch all day, right?
Yeah.
But the scene in True Romance between Dennis Hopper and is it Walken? Yeah, it's Walken, right? About why all Italians are actually the N-word is one of the greatest movie scenes ever in American history. We could never play it on the show right now, but
I think we got the movie clip for tomorrow.
Yeah, we definitely the mystery movie clip tomorrow.
I don't think you could do that, you know, from that one, but
our last mystery movie clip ever.
That, yeah, right, so we're to take it off the air at that point. That's great, but also Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction with the watch and how he got that watch back for his son. And now, little man, I give it to you. That is just a fantastic monologue, too, by Walken in that movie. Oh, man. I got to go back and watch it now. All right. 855-839-1210. Matt DeSantis said I should play, if I want to play anything, the insane cackling of our Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, who is, I think, doing drugs. I really do. And if she's not doing drugs, they should at least drug test her. And if she's not doing drugs, she should. She really should. She's at what, some women's event or something like this?
Oh, Women's History Month event that she's speaking at.
All right.
Enjoy.
And thank you also to President Biden. You can judge a strong man when he has strong women around him.
God. Oh, that cackle. Oh, my God.
Oh, the way she throws her head back and, like, just starts cackling.
Yeah, nothing.
First of all, the way that she laughs when she says President Biden, like it's a joke that he's president. I think she does helium. I think she's doing whippets before she gets out there. I really do. How about Biden last night? He couldn't speak yesterday. He had this event, and he was mumbling his way. He's trying to announce this new national monument, and he can't say the name of it. He has no idea how to pronounce it. Cut 14.
First, I'm proud to use my authority under the Antiquities Act to establish the, and I want you to know it's a big deal, the Havanequa May. I'm having trouble. Thank you. I got it.
I got it. Sit down. It's the monument. It would have just been better if he just came up there and did that. It's the National Monument. It's like when you can't sing a song and you just go, girls, you'll be a... So you just do that. Just mumble your way through it. That would have been better. And somebody tells him, I say, he's like, all right, I got it. Sit down. He also said, I don't know what this means with any woman. I don't know how he defines that, but cut 13.
And by the way, I want to warn you. There are two types. The medals are beautiful. The ribbons are hung on. One doesn't separate. So any woman who I'm giving the one medal to, please don't get angry with me if I mess up your hair.
Obviously, that's their priority. And that moment is their hair. I mean, if a Republican said that, they'd be deemed the most sexist mother effer on earth, right? Like, if Trump had said that, it'd be like, they have a whole other impeachment over what a sexist jerk he is, thinking that women would care if their hair got messed up. Biden says, it's like, oh, Uncle Joey's so funny. Why don't you come over here and sniff me? Sniff my hair after you mess it up. Freak. And that's what he's thinking in his mind, too. He's thinking how he wants to mess up their beautiful locks of hair. It's what he's thinking about. Such a dirty old man. Then he told the joke. He gave Bruce Springsteen a Medal of Honor. National Medal of Arts, I should say. Not Medal of Honor, thank God. The National Medal of Arts.
That'd have been awesome. God.
He gave it to a number of people, including Jersey's own working man, Bruce Springsteen, gentleman farmer that he is. I guess for his hard work on the farm in Rumson, New Jersey. Wherever the hell he lives. Because, you know, Bruce Springsteen for years took the New Jersey farmland property tax assessment to bring his property taxes down from $160,000 a year to $600 a year. I got to sell my chickens. Oh, how about some of my roadside eggs, huh? I don't know. Corn this time of year is beautiful at EIEIO Acres. Hard working man of the people, Bruce Springsteen. Advocates for every Democrat ever who wants to raise taxes and then is the biggest property tax cheat in New Jersey to the point that between him and his buddy Bon Jovi, they have to literally change the law. It's so bad. Cut 12.
I just want to preface this by saying it's about a minute and 20 seconds. I have no idea what he's talking about in this. Enjoy as much of it as you would like.
And nobody knows what he's talking about either.
I've listened to it three times now. I have no clue what's going on.
Speaking of good things in music, the boss is here. The boss is here. As they say in South Philly and North Wilmington, a Jersey boy. I just want you to know, Bruce, there was a lawsuit that was between the governor of Delaware and the governor of New Jersey, and it's now a matter of law. We own Delaware, owns the Delaware up to the high water mark in New Jersey. So for all I know, I could claim you as part of Delaware before that. Bruce Springsteen, a poet, troubadour, chronicle of American life and resilience and hope and dreams, recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, along with 20 Grammys, an Oscar, a Tony, and an unyielding love from millions of fans across generations. The New Jersey kid is back on tour approaching... Guess this, 3,000 concerts around the world.
Charging $5,000 a seat. charging, get this, $3,000 to $5,000 a seat for his tickets because he's such a man of the people. Hey, Bruce, there's a lawsuit at Delaware owns a high water mark of the thing in the, and then
what we, is he talking?
We own you. I own you. What?
There's a little more if you want it.
All right.
I understand if you don't, though.
3,000 concerts around the world. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Since his first performance as a teenager at local Elks Lodge, and I know where it is, Freehold, New Jersey, just across the river. I've been to Freehold. And I married a Jersey girl. Okay? Bruce, some people are just born to run, man.
Oh! Oh! Oh, I see what you did there.
That was...
I mean, he's got the best riders in the biz.
At least that portion made sense. We'll give him credit.
Credit was just corny as all hell.
Corny as all hell. And then Biden left. He went, what does that mean anyway? Born to run. So it's just bad. So bad. Truly. I mean, now it's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. Got to get out while we're young. Because, hey, Bruce, tramps like us. Baby, we were born to run. Am I right? Huh? Tell them about those tramps used to have the high water mark in Delaware. You know what I'm talking about, right, Bruce? They get mad if you messed up their hair, if you know what I mean. What? Now, this is, I got to file this in the ironic category. So Fidel Castro's love child, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. What, Matt DeSantis, you're not going to jump in with a disclaimer?
I just wanted you to finish your thought before I jumped in.
I was waiting for the executive producer of the program to jump in with the mandatory Odyssey disclaimer.
Yeah, Justin Trudeau, the son of Pierre Trudeau, and definitely not Fidel Castro.
Allegedly.
No, for sure.
Allegedly.
For sure, 100% positive.
So the guy that had some of the strictest COVID lockdowns in the world, who literally would not allow people to drive trucks unless they were vaccinated, leading to one of the biggest truck boycotts and protests in the history of the world, actually had this to say at a town hall meeting. And I felt like at the end of it, he was going to look at the audience and go, I'm just effing with you. But he doesn't. Cut 17.
One of the challenges in democracies is known as the tyranny of the majority. When you say, well, it's a democracy, we'll vote on it and we'll do the right thing as we move forward. That's the principle we run with. Democracy, the majority is always right, except of course when it isn't. If you were to imagine a scenario in which someone proposed to pass a law that said people who are right-handed will pay fewer taxes, and they'll be compensated by people who are left-handed, because, you know, left-handed people keep cutting themselves with the wrong-headed scissors, and they open doors the wrong way, and there's more addition to, sorry, one lefty appreciates that. You know, it's a ridiculous thought, right? But imagine for a second, people decided, okay, I'm going to vote with my self-interest, and you had a bill pass, 80% that was unfair to people who can't help the fact that they're born left-handed, no matter how many nuns rapped on their knuckles when they were in school to try and force them to be right-handed, they're just left-handed. You can't change anything about that. That wouldn't be fair.
What is Fidel Castro's love child talking about? Because I have no idea what the hell any of that meant.
Pierre Trudeau. That's his father. Definitely not Fidel.
Allegedly.
Definitely. For legal reasons, we here at the Rich Zeoli Show believe that Justin Trudeau's father is Pierre Trudeau and definitely not Cuban dictator Fidel Castro.
Allegedly.
For certain.
All right, look, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up. Lots to get into with you, including Fauci laughing at a new epic COVID-19 origins, Rand Paul taking him to task, and so much more. So don't go away. But I'll tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Yes, Mama Zioli discovered him. I know that. She's listening, so I got to make sure I always give her that credit. Dr. Mike Veneria is a great guy, great friend of the show, and, of course, the master of dental implants. And I go to see him along with my wife, my children, and my parents. We all trust Dr. Veneria and his award-winning team. They have been voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. His office is unique in that they treat your needs, not driven by money or costs. Dr. Veneria has excelled in implants throughout his career, and that's why patients travel from as far as California and Florida for his care and expertise. He understands patients have a choice, a clear choice to make when choosing dental implants. His treatment is precise, efficient, and yields excellent results at a significant savings from the national chain offices. He has earned the confidence of other doctors to be their doctor, like Dr. Maz. We all have a choice when choosing our doctors, so see why Dr. Veneria is your best choice. Call him today to schedule for all your family's needs. He will exceed your expectations. I've experienced his expertise personally. Locations are right across the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.